My name is Auntie Laurie.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, me and Hope are sitting
around. What's happening?
I like it.
Stop.
It's good.
I'm supposed to stop. Keep going? Okay.
Yeah, right, I don't need that.
Keep going. I got the this and then the this. That means stop.
What's going on?
If you'd like. And I just realized that tonight we turn our clocks back, so we're going to gain an hour. So that means I can talk for an hour and a half, and you have, yeah, and you will not have lost anything. Okay. All right. It's 27 minutes. Except for if I get, like, amens and stuff from you guys, it'll take a little longer. Okay. Repent. Oh, we don't have the slides. Is that the problem? We don't have the slides? Okay. Well, here. Okay. Here's what it is. It says repent in the middle. I used to think that repent, that's a church word, right? It's very, very churchy. Meant to beat myself up and agonize over the wrong things I do. Kind of like this sketch, if we get it up, that I found on the internet of someone in agony. Someone in agony. Okay. That's what I thought repentance looked like. How many of you are fans of the show The Chosen? Okay, we have a few. Season 3 premieres in a couple of weeks, actually. And they're going to premiere it on the big screen. So, yeah, they're going to premiere it on the big screen. If you haven't seen it, during the opening credits, there is a school of fish, gray fish, all swimming around in the same direction. Some of them turn blue and switch directions and go the other way. That is a great illustration of repentance. Repent doesn't mean gnashing my teeth in hopeless shame and regret. As we have heard from this podium rather recently, repent means to turn around, just like the fish in the Chosen opening credits. So repent means change directions. And this will be your first fill in the blank. Other definitions of repent are change the way I think, have a change of heart, get a change of perspective, be willing to be different. So change, and different are your fill in the blanks. So when do we know that we need to repent? Well, when the direction we're going isn't working to bring the values that we treasure into our life. If I value progress and growth, but I'm stuck in the same old patterns and ruts, I may need to repent, change my perspective. If I value serenity, but I'm experiencing a pattern of drama and chaos, I probably need to repent, change the way I think. If I value healthy, safe relationships, but I'm experiencing a pattern of toxic and unfulfilling relationships, I need to repent, have a change of heart. If I want to represent Christ and His love here on earth, but most people just think I'm a crabby old woman, I need to repent, be different. So where do we begin? What would Jesus do? What did Jesus say? I'm sharing from the Sermon on the Mount, which happens to be where The Chosen Season 3 opens. The complete record of the Sermon on the Mount is in the book of Matthew, chapters 5, 6, and 7, and it would take 30 minutes or more, at least, to read all the sermon, so I won't do that. I'm going to just be touching highlights. But I hope you will take the time to read it, because it is a great message on the issues where human beings may need to repent. Or you can watch Jesus himself give the sermon in episode 1 of season 3 of The Chosen. And no compensation has been received for plugging The Chosen. I just happen to like it. And yes, I do know that's not really Jesus. It's an actor that's playing Jesus. I get that. The real Jesus starts the sermon with a list of things that bring blessings to people. The word blessed means spiritually secure, refreshed by God's grace, joyful and content, sheltered by God's promises. And I'm using the contemporary English version tonight. The sermon begins. There would be a slide that looks like this. God blesses those people who depend only on Him. Depend is your fill in the blank word. So do I need to repent on this one? Maybe I need to stop trying to control everything and everyone that I am powerless over and depend on God to do the God stuff. And I'll just do the people stuff that I actually have the power to do, like self-stewardship. Next one, God blesses those people who grieve. They will find comfort. Your fill in the blank is comfort. Maybe I need to allow myself to grieve my losses rather than fight the loss or pretend I'm fine. Stuffing grief by not accepting it or pretending I'm fine does not process the loss. I must accept that I have suffered a loss and admit that it feels bad. I apply steps 1, 2, and 3 from our steps to my loss and show myself compassion without getting sidetracked with self-pity. By accepting my loss and grief, I open myself to divine comfort that passes all understanding. Next one. God blesses those people who are humble. Humble is your fill in the blank. Am I self-absorbed, operating in pride and ego? Or have I so lost touch with myself, I operate out of shame and fear? If so, I need to repent. To be blessed, I need to have an accurate perspective of myself, and that's what being humble means, to have an accurate assessment of self. I need to be self-aware, not self-absorbed or self-abandoned. That might be a good thing to write in your margin. Be self-aware, not self-absorbed or self-abandoned. Further down in the sermon in Matthew 6, Jesus says we are to donate, serve, and pray humbly, not showing off. That doesn't mean we are to hide every good deed we do in complete secrecy, because Jesus also says we are the salt and light to the whole world. We are supposed to let our light shine where everyone can see it. I only need to repent if my motive in service work and prayer and giving is to show off, trying to get praise from other people. It's all about motive. Next one. God blesses those people who want to obey Him. Want is your fill in the blank. They will be completely satisfied. No satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try and I try and I try. Can't get no. Y'all got those slides up just in time.
I was hyping Zach up next to me. I was like, who are we gonna do this?
Thank you. You, Shay, your son just said he does not know that song. Okay, we have some work to do, right? All right. If I can't get no satisfaction, maybe I need to repent from chasing the things I think will satisfy me. And make my focus on wanting to obey Jesus. Well, how do we obey Jesus? By showing love to others. Verse 43 of Matthew 5 says, you have heard people say, love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But I tell you to love your enemies and pray for anyone who mistreats you. Well, who's my enemy? My enemy is anyone who doesn't agree with my religion or my politics. Or any of my other dogmatic perspectives, like how you're supposed to drive your car when I'm on the road. That's my enemies. Jesus says we are not exempt from loving and praying for those we don't like. I must repent from the idea that I will only be patient and kind to the people who deserve it. The way of Jesus is to be patient and kind to everyone, but not in a desperate, codependent way where I am compliant and submissive towards another person to compensate for my lack of self-love. Jesus said, love others as much as you love yourself, but if I can't stand myself, if I hate and reject myself, I'm not even at the baseline of being able to love others. I will only codependently work to be what I think they want, so maybe they will validate me. A compliant codependent orbits the lives of others, but it doesn't bring blessings. They are constantly sacrificing, giving, serving until they're running into the ground. It doesn't bring blessings because other human beings don't make good higher powers to orbit around. In recovery, I've learned to love and appreciate myself as Jesus's lovable creation. And now I can be a conduit for the greatest power in existence, love. My actions motivated by love, not by desperation or fear or greed. And that is a very satisfying way to live. Being patient and kind to all does not mean I'm always nice or I'm always saying yes. Sometimes the most loving thing I can do is stop enabling others who have a pattern of being abusive. Not by trying to control them. I don't have the power to do that. But I can be a good steward of my precious, loved by Jesus self and distance myself from harm if it is in my power to do so. In Al-Anon, we learn about detaching with love. Later in his sermon, Jesus said, "Don't give to dogs what belongs to God. They will only turn and attack you. Don't throw pearls down in front of pigs. They will trample all over them. It's not good stewardship of my precious, loved by Jesus self to willfully abandon self to those who habitually attack or trample. Being loving will not diminish me. Being loving will expand me." Next one, God blesses those people whose hearts are pure. They will see him. Pure is your fill in the blank. Pure means genuine and authentic, like pure gold. Do I see God? If not, maybe I have some repenting to do. Is there any area in my life where I'm not being genuine and authentic? Am I being fake and phony? Am I in denial? Am I trying to manipulate others? Do I act one way in church or work, at school, at the grocery store, and another way at home, diminishing and controlling the ones closest to me? Time to repent. Or instead of control, am I being a chameleon, people pleaser, abandoning my convictions and values so that I'm accepted? I may need to repent and be true to the way God made me, honoring my values and using my unique talents and gifts with a pure heart. Then I will see the glory of my heavenly Creator all around me. God did not make a mistake when he made me. Amen. Or you.
Amen.
Amen. Next slide. God blesses those people who are merciful. God blesses those people who make peace. They will be called his children. Merciful and make peace are your fill in the blank words. Verses 38 and 39 say, "You have been taught an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to try to get even with a person who has done something to you. When someone slaps your right cheek, turn your other cheek." Jesus said, don't try to get revenge. If I have a pattern of wanting to teach people lessons, anyone else have that? Teach people lessons or show them what they did wrong, I am way out of my lane. And I need to repent. To repent, I am merciful, dispensing grace rather than punishment. And I make peace if I can. Turning the other cheek is a gesture of peace. If they slap that cheek as well, they've shown me they don't want peace. And I won't be able to make peace with them unless they repent. But I can keep my side of the street clean. Next slide. God blesses those people who are treated badly for doing right. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. Doing right and belong are your fill in the blank words. Have you ever been made fun of for doing the right thing? I have. Over the years, I've had many opportunities to do the right thing, even when no one would know if I had done the wrong thing. I believe it's good policy to do what's right, whether anyone's watching or not. That's part of having a pure heart and being genuine with myself. But sometimes I have been made fun of, or I've been accused of lying when I did the right thing. One example of this is the times in my life when I've gone to the customer service desk of a store to pay for merchandise I wasn't charged for. The most recent was at Home Depot. I was buying tile for when we remodeled, wall tile for when we remodeled our kitchen. And I went back to get some more, and they were sold by the piece, not the box. I needed a few more, and the clerk didn't count them. She said, "How many do you have?" And I said, 18. And when I got home, something was niggling at me, and so I started counting them, and I counted 20, and then I counted 19, and then I counted 22, and I'm like, all right, obviously I can't count. And I counted, I finally, for sure, absolutely knew I had 21 of them. I think I had to lay them out, but I had 21, and I'd paid for 18. So I went up to the store, and I took one. I said, I got home with three more, and they're really, it's a bother to do this. They don't really like it, but I went and paid for them. Another time, I had something that slid down in the basket, didn't see it. The checkout girl didn't see it, and I got out to the car and was unloading, and there it was. And so I took it back in and paid for it, because that is what is the right thing to do. Amen. I was tempted to just leave it in the basket because I didn't really have time, but, you know, the right things to do sometimes snowball. And so I went in and paid for it. Another time, I pulled into a department store parking lot, and I saw this big bag in a field beside the department store, and something told me to go look at it. And so it looked very out of place. And I went and looked, and it was full of new clothes. And it had the tags of this department store, so I just picked it up, took it in. I said, I found this outside, and I was turning around to walk away. And the service desk person said, hang on, just a second. And I thought, oh, maybe I'll get a reward. And she said, I need to go get my manager. And so I really thought I was going to get a reward, but no, they called the police on me. And, yeah, they called the police on Aunt Laurie. They did. Some of y'all might be used to that, but I wasn't used to it. And so the police officer said, so she was trying to get a refund on these clothes? And I was like, no, I found them, and I'm giving them back. And he said, so you didn't ask for a refund? I said, no. And he said, you can go. And he said, this, you shouldn't have called us. And yes, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, why did you tell me I should go check that bag and then that happened? But anyway, we got it sorted. I've been ridiculed for doing what I thought was right in all of these stories. I've been told it was the checkout clerk's fault for not counting the tiles or checking the cart, and the bag of clothes I found should have been mine, finders keepers. But Jesus said, God blesses those people who are treated badly for doing right. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. Doing right, even when I'll be ridiculed for it, gives me citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. Well, what does that mean? I used to think being in the kingdom of heaven meant floating around on a cloud with a harp. But now I believe God's kingdom can be a reality right here, right now. And we pray for his kingdom to come every time we say the Lord's Prayer at the end of all our services and meetings. God's kingdom is everywhere that love rules. If we walk in love, we are welcoming the kingdom of heaven to earth. So that's the end of what's called the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. But the Sermon of the Mount is not over. As a matter of fact, there's a lot more than I'm going to touch on. Jesus covers a lot of life issues where I might need to repent, change my direction. Am I pursuing love? Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can work for two masters. You cannot serve God and money, possessions, fame, status, or anything that is trusted more than the Lord Or as was said in our Wednesday night Overcomers meeting, and I paraphrase, you can't rock out to Rise Up and sing a drinking song at the same time. Is that right? Is that close to right? Okay. If I'm serving money, possessions, fame, status, drinking songs, whatever, I need to repent and serve love. Turn around. If I'm not serving love, I am serving another master, either myself or another person or a system that masquerades as love. Loving my neighbor does not mean making an idol out of them. Sometimes what we call love is actually a desire to possess another human being. In Matthew 5, 27 through 29, Jesus says, "You know the commandment which says, 'Be faithful in marriage.' But I tell you, if you look at another and want them, you are already unfaithful in your thoughts. If your right eye causes you to sin, poke it out and throw it away." Poke it out is your fill in the blank. What if she's wearing a halter top and short shorts? Or what if he's wearing a Western shirt and tight Wranglers? I had no idea that John would be dressed tonight in a Western shirt. And as a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever seen him dressed like that. But that makes our point vividly. The problem isn't what they are wearing or not wearing. The problem is how I or you are looking at them. The problem is my eye, your eye. If Jesus literally meant we should poke our eye out if we looked at someone with lust, how many of us would be sporting a pirate patch? We can name some people we see on the big screen, you know. And Uncle Bill, I assume that was from before we were married. Okay, don't literally poke your eye out. Repent. Change the way you think. She is your sister, your daughter, your aunt, your mother, your brother, your son, your nephew, your family. We are family. Human beings are not objects to be possessed. Love shares our lives. Love communes with each other. Love fellowships with each other. Love appreciates each other. But love doesn't own. To be salt and light, there may be some other things I need to repent from, changing the way I think. What about worry? Has anyone ever needed to repent from that? Jesus said in chapter 6 of Matthew, don't worry, asking yourself, will we have anything to eat? Will we have anything to drink? Will we have any clothes to wear? Your Father in heaven knows you need all of these. Put God's work first, and God's work is walking in love with each other. It's not that easy, though. Then the other things will be yours as well. Even in this economy, don't worry. Walk in love, do what's humanly possible to do, and this day's daily needs will be met. The next section of the sermon is the "Judge not that you be not judged" message from Jesus. This is key for me to walk in the light of love that brings blessings. Matthew 7, 1 through 5 says, "Don't condemn others, and God won't condemn you. You can see the speck in your friend's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye. How can you say, 'My friend, let me take the speck out of your eye,' when you don't see the log in your own eye? First, take the log out of your own eye, then you can see how to take the speck out of your friend's eye. Do you have a log in your eye? The log of self-righteousness, condescension, bullying, discrimination, entitlement, hard-hearted, know-it-all, prideful, selfish, angry, braggart. Do we point out other people's specks, hoping they won't notice the plank that we have? These are all attitudes I must repent of. I must be willing to be different, be the opposite of what those things are, before I can even think of helping others. There's another kind of log that I've carried around, the log of less than. Maybe some of you will recognize this log. Less than, worthless, despondent, lost, afraid, insecure, hopeless, over-responsible, abandoned, trapped, confused. This is the kind of log that I had blocking me for decades. I had to repent. I had to get a change of perspective for God's light to shine through me. Well, how exactly did I change my perspective? I worked the 12 steps from the big book more than once with sponsors. I needed a spiritual awakening because I was looking at Jesus with that plank in my eye, the hopeless, abandoned, lost, and trapped plank. I got my spiritual awakening, but it's not a once and done sort of life. I keep changing for the better by becoming more self-aware. Remember, you wrote that in your margin. Instead of either self-absorbed or self-abandoned. The big book of AA is a powerful sermon based on the biggest big book. It was and is exactly the sermon I needed for my life to change and continue to change. And if you aren't on that changing for the better journey, I invite you to join us tonight in Overcomers and hear more about it. You have a prayer in your bulletin. Let's pray that prayer together. You can pray it out loud if you would like. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for opportunities to grow. Help me to be self-aware and ready to change directions when I need to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And thank you for letting me share tonight. Yeah.